Hey, we're in for a treat. Man, I hope you got good night's rest. Hope you ate some of those donuts. They provided 40 dozen donuts for us. And if not, maybe during the break you can grab the rest of them and stuff a few down. So, hey, it's great to have Dr. David Gibbs as a speaker. Heard him last year at Iron Man. Preached a great message. Our men listened to it in their men's meeting after that for about a month afterward, and just continued to feast on God's goodness. I want y'all to give a warm Iron Man welcome to Dr. David Gibbs, Christian Law Association. So good to have him.
Friend, God bless you. Oh, boy, that music from the Irwins. How many of you enjoyed that? Hold your hand up, would you? Let's thank them again soundly for what they did. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can I encourage you, please go back and get their music and take it home with you. Make sure that you can hear them in the highway as you're going down it in your home. This family is the real thing. There's some singers that I've met, and I'm thankful for what they do, but the best they are is on the platform. Because when they're off the platform, they don't live what they sing. These people live what they sing. And that's why I want to encourage you, boy, get that music in your home. And thanks to this dear church for all the work they did for this Iron Man meeting. Let's thank them one more time. And my brother, I just don't know how any of us short of heaven are going to get to thank you enough for what you've done in putting this meeting together all these years. Absolutely phenomenal. Just phenomenal. I only have one regret, and that is that it's just here. It needs to be spread all across the country. This man's heart, what a dear man of God. Turn in your Bibles this morning to Mark, the book of Mark, chapter 11. Mark, chapter 11. I changed my message because of what the Irwins sung about. I want to ask you a simple question. If we needed God right now to do the impossible, not the difficult, not the challenging, the impossible, would you hold your hand up and say, I'm the man that can get that done? Could you move the arm of the Almighty? Well, Brother Gibbs, I mean, come on, who can do that? Well, let me help you. The Bible says you can. Amen. The Bible says that as a child of God, you are invited to do the impossible. The disciples have been following Jesus. And Jesus has been teaching them and instructing them, and most of all, teaching them how to pray. But they haven't been praying, he's been praying. Now he's about to teach them how to get at it. And I want you to look at where he starts in Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, please note, he didn't say have faith in your talent or your diligence or your ability or all the things that you can muster down here just as a human being. He said, you want to do the impossible, you got to have faith in God. I always remind people, and that's what I love about this meeting, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Doesn't say it's difficult, says it's impossible. And he says, put your faith, your trust, your confidence. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Put your faith in God. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, Iron Man didn't say that. I sure didn't say that. Pastor Bossier didn't say that. God said that. God said, I invite you to move mountains. I walked in a church one day, and I was in the lobby shaking hands with some of the dear people. There was a church in California. And this lady came running up to me, and she said, oh, Brother Gibbs, Brother Gibbs. And I don't know how to explain this. Anybody with health food stuff, it's like I attract them. I can sense their presence while I'm in the building and they're in the parking lot. Here they come, and they mean well, but the goofy stuff they bring to me. Well, this lady comes running up to me, and that quick, she grabs my arm and pulls it out, and she starts rubbing my hand and my forearm with her thumbs. And it feels pretty good. And I'm looking around. My wife's not here. Go ahead, rub away. Go ahead. Now, you got to be careful now, because the minute you do this now, they all get their phone out. They want to take a photo of it. And she's just rubbing away on it. And honestly, she said, this acupressure will really help you. I said, oh, great. Thank you. Thank you. And then she spooked me. She's got my arm out like this, and she's just rubbing away. And real quick, she slings a bag around the side of her that's suspended over her shoulder, and she reaches down in it. And she's got like brown goo in it. And she slaps it on my hand. It just all happened like that. And now she's just working that brown goo on me, just something fierce. Now, this brown goo really stinks. And I'm noticing that people are starting to distance themselves from us. And I mean, I'm going, wow, sweet Alabama, that stinks. I said, what is that stuff you're rubbing on me? She said, it's all natural. By the way, that's what they say when they don't want to answer. It's all natural. Well, she's rubbing away. I said, ma'am, all natural what? Because, boy, this is smelly. She said, well, if you need to know, it's unrefined pork entrails. I said, lady, I am probably the one man in this church who knows what unrefined pork entrails are. My family was in the cattle and pork slaughtering business. I said, unrefined pork entrails is pig doo-doo. I said, you're lathering pig poop all over me. Oh, yeah, but it's perfectly natural. And she's just going to town. And she said, it'll make you lose weight. It'll grow hair. I mean, I said, lady, you're nuts. She said, I'm telling you, it's the answer for everything. And I said, ma'am, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I ran in the church restroom there, and I started to wash, and I couldn't get the stain or the smell off my hand. I mean, I'm going, whew, wow. Finally, one of the ushers said, come on, they're looking for you on the platform. Hurry up, hurry up. So I ran and got up on the platform. It was in Dr. Treber's church. And I walked up by him, and both he and his staff were going. And he looked at me and he said, "Do you have an accident or something?" I said, "No, not exactly, not exactly." I said, he said, "Oh no, oh no. Sister Abby got you." He said, "Brother Gibbs, I am so sorry. She means well, but she comes up with these wild things every week. I'm just sorry." I said, "Now look, here's what you need to do. You need to lock her up and don't let her near anybody till your ushers have got her under control." It took a better part of a week to get that stain out. When I went home, my wife was washing my shirts and she said, "What is this on your shirt?" I said, "It's all natural." Now that dear lady started writing me and she said, "You just won't believe what this is going to do for you." She said, "Spiritually, it's like amazing. God just uses it." And I wish I could tell you that's the only time that somebody didn't come up to me with a crackpot notion of how to get God to do something. But God said, "I don't need a crackpot. All you need is what you just read." God said, "I'll make it possible for you to do the impossible." Now look at what he says there. "For verily I say unto you that whosoever..." Now if you have a marker, underscore the word "whosoever." The word "whosoever" means you. That's me. That's your name. By the way, in the scripture where it says "whosoever will may come." Whosoever means us men. "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." That came straight from the lips of Jesus. The Irwins sang about it so beautifully this morning.
Amen.
A mountain moving God. Now, can I tell you what the problem is? We've stopped trying to move mountains. And by the way, when it says mountain movings, they're not talking about taking the Rockies and putting them in Florida. Mountain was a figure of speech. If something was utterly, ridiculously, hopelessly impossible, it took mountain moving to do it. That, by the way, is a term we still use today. Somebody says, "I'm under a mountain of debt right now. I got a mountain of concern." You don't have a mountain. That's a figure of speech for something that's overwhelming. And God says, "I don't care what you have, I'll move the mountain." Now, I don't know what's in your life and you don't know what's in mine. Here's the one thing I know: we all got mountains. And what I'm pleading with you to do this morning is start claiming these verses. Now notice what he says here. You want to move the mountain? Here's the first key. "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, if I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and you shall have them." The first key is you got to ask. What's on your impossible list? What are you asking for? Now, please note, you're not limited to one ask. God never said, "Choose carefully, you get one." The only thing that limits the number is you asking. And how for our families in the hour in which we live, would we not be asking? How for our mates would we not be asking? What's impossible that you're trying to deal with? A young evangelist called my dad, and he said, "Mr. Gibbs, I understand you have semi-trucks." And my dad said, "I do. We've got quite a few." And he said, "Well, my trucks are so shot, they can't pull my tent up. I want to do a tent revival. And could you come and bring your trucks and help pull it up?" My dad said, "Sure, I'll do that." Well, I was just a kid. Anytime we could climb in those trucks, I just liked to go along for the ride. And we got out to where he had his tent laid out on the ground. My dad got out and walked around, looked at the tent, and he said, "Son, I don't know how to tell you this, your tent is shot. This thing is more patched than tent." He said, "We hook these powerful tractors up to it, we'll shred it." And this evangelist, who was not 20, I think he's 18 probably, said, "Mr. Gibbs, you're right. You hook it up, you'll wreck it. But here's what I want to do. Hook it up, but don't pull." And he said, "Then I'm going to get on my face in this field right over here, and I'm going to ask God to move a mountain." Amen. Now, I had never heard anybody say that before in my life. When's the last time you went public with you moving a mountain? Well, they hooked the tractors up. And that young evangelist walked probably from here to that wall, started crying out to the Lord. And my dad's drivers came over by us, and they said, what's he doing? What's he up to?" And my dad said, "He's asking God to do the impossible." And I said, "Well, he's going to need it." Finally, he came back after about 15 minutes. "And could we have counted on your prayer to pull it off?" He came back, he said, "Okay, pull." My dad said, "Young man, I'll do it, but I just don't want you mad when we wreck your tent." He said, "No, I've asked in faith believing. That's the requirement." Amen. By the way, that's how you got saved. Amen. "For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." My dad said, "Okay, we'll pull." Those trucks started pulling, and that tent began to like vibrate, and it made an eerie noise. But up it went. And when it got to the top, it was shrieking. He said, "Okay, stake it off, stake it off." And my dad's drivers came back by us and said, "How do you do that?" Yeah. You cannot explain the impossible. Right. Because it's impossible. My dad told his drivers, "God did that." Finally, we're ready to leave, and my dad said, "Young man, I'll give it to you. God did something today. God heard your cry." But he said, "Now I want to tell you, I think we ought to raise some money and get you a new tent." He said, "Nope, don't need a new tent. Only going to use it 2 more weeks and I'm done." He said, "God's laid on my heart to start a church in this town." My dad said, "Well, that's good." But he said, "There is something you can pray with me about, Mr. Gibbs." He said, "What's that?" "That's the early 1950s. He said, "I want to put the Romans Road, I want to put the gospel on television so people can get saved." Television was in its infancy. There weren't very many stations. They were only on a few hours a day. And the pictures on the TVs were all white snow. How many of you remember the white snow TVs? And how many of you remember that we'd make the kids hold the rabbit ears, right? And we'd nuke them while they were doing it. Dad said, you want to put the gospel on television? He said, yes, sir. He said, well, son, do you have any experience at that? He said, no, I have no experience. He said, have you got any education credentials? He said, Mr. Gibbs, I never got to graduate from high school. My dad died, and my mom and my three sisters, for them to eat, I went to work. He said, you have no experience. You have no credentials educationally. He said, have you got money? He said, Mr. Gibbs, if I had money, I'd have a new tent. He said, son, you got no money. You got no credentials, no experience. What in the world makes you think you're going to put the Romans Road on television? He looked at my dad and he said, because I asked.
Amen.
He said, God could sure get better than me, Mr. Gibbs.
Yeah.
But I asked. What are you asking for? Jesus seven times said, ask and ye shall receive. But the word for ask there was the word for asking with specificity. It was the word for getting detailed with God. On the way home in the truck, I asked my dad, you think he's going to put the Romans Road on television? My dad said, I don't know, but I'm telling you, he moved a mountain today. And God's in the mountain moving business, son. Well, he bought a little, rented a little movie theater, 60 seats, rat infested, and started his church. Went up to the TV station in town, walked in, told the man, I have no money, but I want you to give me 10 minutes so that I can put the Romans Road on television.
Amen.
And the guy looked at him and he said, why would I give it to you for free? You got no money. When I got people standing in line with money and I don't have time to sell them, I don't have time to give them. No, the answer is no, get out of here. And so he left. Came back the next day, showed up again. He said, what makes you think you're getting on this station? He said, because I asked. He said, you asked who? He said, I asked God. The world may not be impressed with your ask, but God's incredibly impressed. Whosoever shall say. That's why the devil is terrified when you start asking. The guy threw him out and said, come back, I'll have you arrested. He came back a third time. The guy said, no. Now get out of here, and he profanely threw him off the property. On the way out the door, a secretary sitting at a desk there said, can I ask you a question about this Romans Road? He said, sure. If someone is dying, does this make the difference in whether they go to heaven or hell? He said, that's exactly what it does. Exactly. She said, well, my sister is dying. Could you go with me and give her the Romans Road? He said, I'd be honored to.
Right.
By the way, who have you given the Romans Road to? Do you understand what it would be for somebody to face a Christless eternity? She said, follow me. Now, he thought the sister lived in the area. The sister lived 200 miles away. So he's following the sister, and now he's got trouble because he's running out of fuel. So he's blinking his lights, and they pull over, and he said, ma'am, I'm sorry, I didn't know it was so far away. She said, that's okay, I'll buy your fuel, come on. And finally they got to the sister's house. Good thing he got there. 20 minutes with the sister, and she prayed a sinner's prayer. And trusted Jesus Christ. As they're walking out of the sister's home, this secretary turned to him and says, is what you did with my sister what you want to put on television? He said, exactly. She said, well, come next Saturday, you're going to be on television.
Amen.
He said, lady, that's a very sweet thing, but that station manager hates me. She said, I know, that's my husband. But here's what you don't know. He doesn't own the station, I do. He doesn't decide who gets on, I do. And she looked at this young evangelist and said, God's been raking me over the coals. Next week you come. Next week, that's what he did. 10 minutes, the Romans Road. And he said, if you prayed that sinner's prayer, dial this number, 450 some people called. What makes you think you can do it? I asked.
Amen.
I asked. Yeah, but you don't have the credentials. You don't have the experience. You don't have money. That's irrelevant if you got God. After 2 weeks, this lady that owns the station came to him and said, I own two other stations, now you're on three. And she said, I know everybody who has a station. And within 1 year's time, she had him on 1,600 TV stations. Every single week, the sinner's prayer. And every single week, they'd have in excess of 2,000 people call, say, I prayed that, now what? What do you need God to do? What do you want God to do? God's looking for somebody to move mountains. But you got to be ready. I promise you, the devil is terrified of the thought of you praying to move mountains. Because he's helpless against it. You have the promises of God. The God who says it's only impossible with man, it's never impossible with God. Never. But you have to ask. Yeah, but Brother Gibbs, what if I ask and God doesn't do it? What if I pray and it doesn't happen? Now listen carefully. Number one, God's promised he'll do it. And there's only two times he won't do it. Number one is if you're asking for something outside of his will.
Right.
He loves you too much to give you anything that's not in your best interest. But very little does that happen. The other thing is, he says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it on your own lust. God says, if you're just praying selfish, I'm not going to answer that prayer. But you're not going to pray selfish. And you're not asking God to violate his word. What impossible do you need in your life? What impossible do you need in your family? In your health, in your finest, doesn't matter. God says, I want you to move mountains. When I was 8 years of age, my mother contracted polio and never walked again. I was watching all these musicians up here. My mom was a concert-trained pianist. She went to Juilliard. Wasn't anything she couldn't play. Music was her life. But one morning she said she was cooking breakfast at about 10 to 5 in the morning. She said, run get your dad, I think I'm sick. Little did we know that polio, spinal meningitis, had come to our house. I ran and got my dad and he came back and my mom was on the couch with blood pouring out of her eyes, just pouring. And she was shaking violently We called the docs, we called for the ambulance. When they got there, they put a hole in my mother's throat, literally the size of a 50-cent piece, so she could breathe. And I remember the medics saying, "I don't think she's going to make it alive to the hospital, so say goodbye now." And I remember standing there, I'm 8 years old, I thought, what do you mean she's not going to make it alive? When they took my mom out the door, I didn't realize I wouldn't see her for 2.5 years. When you're 8, 2.5 years is a very long time. All we did was live for the phone calls, is she alive? Is she alive? But I learned something. My dad said, we're going to move mountains.
Yes, come on.
My dad said, I'm asking. And twice a day, he'd get my sister and I, and we'd say, God, the doctors have no hope for us. That's why we're asking you, move mountains. Finally, my dad convinced him to let him talk to my mom at night on the phone. They would put a phone. She couldn't move anything. She's in an iron lung. She can't breathe. She can't move anything. Most days she can't close her eyelids. She has to ask somebody to pull her eyelids down or pull them up. But he'd get on the phone and he'd say, God, I'm asking. In faith, believing. You promised. Now the doctors kept saying, Mr. Gibbs, she's just amazing. She's alive, that she's breathing at all. My dad said, and he sent him these verses. He said, our faith's not in you men. Our faith is in these verses. Finally, after 2.5 years, my mother got to come home. And when she did, she's strapped in a wheelchair. She can't feed herself. She can't dress herself. She can't do anything. Brother Bossier, she's paralyzed. But she could pray. And the first thing she did in our presence was she said, God, I got a mountain to move. Look at me. Who'd want me? And I remember my dad saying, honey, I want you. You're the love of my life. And we're going to ask God to move mountains. Finally, a new pastor in town asked my mom, you think from a wheelchair you could teach a Sunday school class? And she said, oh, I'd love it. I got to remember, she can't feed herself. But my dad said, I'll be your legs. I'll be your arms. I'll carry you. And this was back before they had all these codes that required ramps. He carried my mom everywhere. Finally, my mom said, we got to get more kids for the Sunday school. And she said, I want to go uptown to the big bus company and ask God to give us a bus and a driver so that we can bring children to Sunday school. My dad was praying. I took my mom up to the bus company. And when we got there, I accidentally dropped her on the snow and ice. And she hit the ground, the frozen ground, and just screeched in agony. And I said, Mom, let's go home. She said, no, we got a mountain to move. You see, the devil's going to do anything he can to get you off that mountain. She said, "Now don't move me, son. If you move me, I'll pass out. And I don't want that to happen." We laid on that snow for probably 30 minutes. And then she said, "Now dry my eyes." She couldn't dry her own tears. She said, "Dry my eyes. I don't want them to know I was crying. And then we're going to go in and get a bus." We walked up to the front, walked in by a receptionist. My mom said, "We have no money, but I need you to give me a bus to get children to Sunday school." And that young lady said, "Well, I don't know that we've ever done it, but there's a first time for everything. Let me get the vice president down here." And a guy came down, nice enough. He said, "Lady, I understand you got no money and you want us to loan you a bus." My mom said, "That's right." He said, "Well, we're not going to do it. Come back when you have money." My dad, for all my mom's medical, had promised that he would personally pay almost $3 million in medical bills. It took him 20 years to do it, but he paid every penny. He said, "I gave my word as a Christian." He said, "Well, we're not going to do it." My mom asked him, "Do you own the buses?" And he said, "No, the owner does." And she said, "Well, I need him." And she said, "Well, he's not coming down." And that quick, that little receptionist dialed up to him, and here he come. He came down and stood by us, and he said, "I understand you want me to give you a bus for free." My mom said, "That's right, so we can get kids to Sunday school." He said, "Lady, I'm not going to do it. But let me tell you why I'm here. You fell in my parking lot, and I was looking out my office window. You fell under my office window, and I watched you hit the ground. And I watched the agony of your pain. I've never seen a bus matter that much to anybody. Why does this matter so much?" And my mom said, "Because I've asked for those kids." What have you asked for that really matters? "I've asked for those kids." Mercy. He said, "Well, if I give you a bus, you can't drive it." She said, "I need a bus and a driver." He said, "Okay, I'll give you one bus, one driver for 1 week." My mom said, "That's wonderful, but I need two." I thought, "Mom, we were asking for one. Let's get out of here while we're ahead." She said, "There's two sides to town. I need two buses." He said, "Okay, two buses, two drivers, 1 week." And that's all he did, 1 week. Because the next week he gave us three. And within a month, it was 10. And within 2 years' time, he was giving us 150 buses and 150 drivers. And the Sunday school with no kids in it never had fewer than 5,000 children. Never. And it was all run by a lady who couldn't do anything except claim this verse. That was it. My mom would have me push her wheelchair every Sunday down by the drivers. And she'd say to those bus drivers, "Come on, you're going to church. Put out your cigarette, you're going to church." And they would say, "No, ma'am, we're not going." And she'd say, "Yes, you are. Now, come on." And like little ducks, they'd follow her in. And every driver got saved. Then my mom said, "I want the city to let anybody going to any church ride the church buses for the city for free." And she had us go down to city council. And the president of city council said, "There's no way we're doing that." And that man that owned the bus company stood up and said, "You better give it to her. She's going to ask for more." And then he said, "I'm telling you, she knows how to move mountains." Do you? Or are we going to just be comfortable giving it the best shot we can? When my mom went home to be with the Lord, the church said, "Best we can count on the mission field, there's 400 and some missionaries that got saved riding your buses. 400 and some. For a lady who couldn't feed herself. And there's 150 pastors in the pulpit, pastoring, who got saved riding your buses. What do you need God to do? What do you want God? Mom, you could never play the piano again, but you could ask God to move mountains. And Dad, God used you to move mountains. There is no greater compliment you can pay a child of God than to say, by God's grace, you know how to move mountains. And God's ready to do it for you. Bow your heads in prayer. Father, forgive us. We've asked for so pitiful little. Forgive us. Whosoever will say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed." That's us. Heads are bowed. How many of you say, "David, God helping me. I want God to let me move mountains. My heart's been touched. I want my prayer to move mountains for God. My heart's been touched this morning, and I'm going to ask." If that's true, hold your hand up right now. Hold your hand up high. Hold it high. You have your hand up. I want you to get out of your seat and make your way to this altar. It's time to ask. It's time to ask. You come right now. Doesn't matter what it is. You're not limited to one. What are you asking for your family, for our nation? Father, I bow with these men. Forgive me for asking for so pitiful little. Forgive me most of the time for not asking at all. When God, it's the most powerful thing in the universe, authored by you. Ask and you shall receive. Ask in faith, believing. And you'll have the desire of your heart. Father, hear each cry. My prayer that from this day forward, men are going to be able to move mountains. Based not on what we can do, but based on what you can do and you have promised. I pray that as we leave here, if they forget every word I've said, that's irrelevant. May we never forget what the Word of God says. Hear our cry. We're asking in faith, believing. Thank you, Father. Thank you. I pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's children together said, Amen. Make your way back to